So I assume that a majority of us have not been to Alpha. Any questions about Alpha? You know, we are a pretty small church, and it's totally okay to, you know, when prompted, speak. Right? So any questions about what we're doing with Alpha? Anything that's on your mind? Maybe right now there isn't enough information on Alpha for you. Anybody has any questions about Alpha? We will be doing Alpha for 11 weeks, okay? It is actually a pretty big challenge because we're doing it on Sunday morning. So we're talking about a little changing in the formats of our worship service, shorten it a little bit so that we can start Alpha at around 10:45, 10:30, 10:45, yeah? So that, but we also don't want to be like a long sermon in the service, and then you go to Alpha, and then there's also a long video teaching, right? So we're making some changes. Hopefully it will be edifying, helpful to everybody who participate, right? So we're inviting all of you guys to join the entire Sunday morning experience. And Alpha, if you look at the topics, Jason, you can bring up that page that you were on. If you look at the topics, like, what were they? Like, who is Jesus? Why did Jesus have to die? What is the Holy Spirit? What is the church? All of those things. Oh, yeah. This is, like, our front page right now, right? And all of those topics are actually big topics. And if you think, oh, my friend, when they get here, they're going to get scared about this because, you know, we're going to lecture them. You know, we're going to convince them to believe in Jesus. We're going to, you know, lock the room and not let them go, right, before they, you know, say a prayer, right? That is not how Alpha runs, okay? You know, how does God guide us? You know, how do I have faith, right? Is there more to life than this? We basically start with a brunch, okay? And brothers and sisters will be helping to prepare that. And that helps to relax people up a little bit. And then we will get into a 15 to 20 minute video teaching. The videos are very solid in terms of theology. There's also testimonies. It's very, very nicely done. And it's done in a very beautiful way, artistically speaking. Okay, so great video. And then there will be a time where we just get together for about 45 minutes to an hour, basically raising some of the questions that people might have about faith, about Jesus, about the church, about God. And, you know, our urge might be to answer all of those things, answer all those questions right away, although we might have some answers, but we also know that there are some things that we're still exploring and learning. So we're taking that posture and inviting people to ask questions about faith, and we want to be able to help them explore those things. And the video teaching will provide some answers to some of those questions as well. So it is a great starting point for conversation. Really, really want you to consider bringing your friends. It will be a challenge because it is 11 weeks in a row. And pray for our friends. Have a person in mind. And we're also having Alpha for the teens as well. So if you're in teenage Sunday school, yeah, we're doing it together. Okay, we'll be watching the videos together, but you'll have your group to talk about these things. Okay, so yeah, I hope that gets you excited. Man, there are quite a few things. Anybody know about this? One day, this coming Saturday, one day it's a yard sale that we're doing, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The parking lot will be open. We're going to have a yard sale. We're going to have some booth games. We're going to fire up the grill. This is really a way for us to get to know our neighbor, but at the same time, whatever that's sold, all the proceeds will go to Adrian Court Community Services Association, which is a very local in Scarborough community service. And we just want to contribute that way, acknowledging that they also provide a lot of services to the community, like food banks. So we want to partner up that way. If you have items, please do bring it. And if you have friends, invite them, and it'll be a good day on Saturday. And also help out as well. Okay, all right. I hope I didn't miss anything. Did I miss anything, Pastor Tina? All right, how about we pray? Let's pray. Father, Father, we come here on a Sunday morning, and Sometimes even church has a lot of things going on. And Lord, while we want to be busy for you, God, we want to be in love with you. We want to desire you. That is our heart. And so while I just blurted out a bunch of announcements, but I pray that, Lord, you will help us filter and help us align our hearts. And knowing that all of these activities, God, you are in there guiding people's hearts towards you. We want to be part of what you're doing, God. We want to be part of where you are. We want more of you. So God, help us. Help us and take away, help us take away those distractions and help us to be able to focus on your word and your spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will come and sweep over our hearts, heal our wounds, and bind us up so that we can be healed. Bind up all the wounds, that we can be healed up, that we can sense your love, that we can sense your presence. Lord, I want to pray for all of my friends and brothers and sisters here. Whatever we're struggling through right now in life, whether it's job search, whether it's relational issues, whether it's anxiety and depression, God, would you come meet us? Would you draw us into your presence? God, so we give thanks. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think Brent already said this, but is there anybody who is new here, first time here? I want to welcome you. Yes, Boaz right there. And Vivian. Great meeting you, Vivian. Yeah, great to have you here. And Angie also, and also a friend there as well. Yeah, welcome, welcome. Yeah, it might not be your first time, but we can welcome you still. Yeah. And we pray that this is your spiritual home. And hey, we have been talking about a series called Cultivate. And once again, the whole thing about cultivating, it's about cultivating culture. And I've used this analogy before. It's like some people describe culture like the air you breathe. You don't really know it's there, but if you don't have it, you're going to die. or the other way to describe it is like the water that the fish swim in. Right? When you talk to the fish, anybody ever talk to the fish? You know, hey, what are you swimming in? You know, hey, is the water good? The fish might not be able to tell you that. They're already in it. And culture is like that. It has to do with what we believe, our values, that eventually trickles down to our actions. And culture is a thing that you can sense. For church, when we say that there is a group of Jesus follower, what are the culture? What is the culture of a church? And where do we want to go? How do we want to develop our culture? So we talked about several values that we really hold tight. And one of them is Jesus is our center. Jesus really is the center of the universe, and we orient around Jesus. We draw our learning and knowledge from Jesus. We learn from his life, of who he is, how he interacts with both the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, and also the sinners. How he interacted with those people. We draw from that, and eventually his sacrifice on the cross. Jesus is our center. We talked about that. And there are also values. And today, what we're going to talk about is we plant, planting, weeding, and pruning. Planting, weeding, and pruning. We'll get to the passage in a bit. If you've ever planted, you know that gardening is very, very delicate. How many of you do some sort of gardening work or lawn work at home? Show of hands. No, nobody does that? Okay, wow. Only like 5 people does it. Okay. And then all you guys live in like condos and apartments, you know, right? It's very delicate. Some plants, they need full sunlight, right? All day sunlight. Some plants need shades. Some plants need more water than the others. Some are able to draw roots deep into the ground. Some have shallower roots. And if you ever need to garden, you need to be diligent, like my wife, right? She waters every single day. And I have I also have one plant in the house. All of the rest of the plants and gardens and flowers belongs to my wife. Yes. Many, many, right? So she waters every day, and there are multiple plants that are on a schedule. My plants, man, I water every 2 months, right? It's like it's a philodendron. I got it because it doesn't require a lot of watering, right? It's beautiful though. It's all leaves, you know, no flowers. it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of diligence, and you have to watch the seasons as well. And in Jesus' teaching, a lot of times when he talks about faith, he uses many parables that he talked about faith of agricultural nature, like farming and gardening. For example, Jesus talked about faith growing like a small mustard seed. You only need faith like as tiny as a mustard seed. Remember, we talked about that last week, right? And it talked about the sower who sowed in four places, right? The side of the road. Some seed fell on the side of the road. Some seed fell on the rocky places. Some seed fell on thorns that couldn't grow, and some seeds fell on good soil, right? That, and then growing to a hundredfold, 60-fold, 30-fold. And he uses a lot of those analogies. And he also talked about how a single kernel of wheat, just one seed dying, will produce many, many seeds. He uses a lot of these analogies. And that got me thinking, when we talk about cultivating a culture of the church, we can use a lot of these analogies. When Jesus talked about faith, it's organic. It is organic. It is not like a machine that makes sausages, you know, like you throw in a bunch of stuff and it churns out some sort of meat. It's not like that. It's, you have to water it, you have to take good care, you have to rely on resources that are out of your control, like the sun, like the rain. And you have to watch the seasons. So why are we talking about this? Why are we talking about planting, weeding, and pruning? I don't know if you've heard of this term called spiritual but not religious, the SBNR, spiritual but not religious. How many of you have heard of this term? Spiritual, not religious? Okay, again, five of you. Different five people, though. This is a relatively new term in the past 10 years. Spiritual, but not religious. A lot of people now consider themselves very spiritual. But they're not religious in the sense that they're not part of any religion. Especially they're not part of any institutional religion like Christianity, like some things that would require you to kind of be there or be affiliated with an organization or part of a movement. People kind of like to mix and match and do come up with their own spirituality. They take a little bit of Zen, they take a little bit of Buddhism, take a little bit of, you know, Jesus, and they put together this dish and call it their own spirituality. Now, I'm not here today we're not here to critique whether that's right or wrong. Obviously, for me, I'm going to have to tell you, I do believe that we need a coherent understanding of who God is instead of a piecemeal solution. But we're not here to critique, but I want to point to the fact that there's a lot more people nowadays that actually check the box. When there's a box that says, do you have any religion? What's your faith background? They say that they have no religion. Okay, and it used to be, in 2001, it used to be only 1% of Canadians that would take off no religion. Actually, sorry, not 2001, but 40 years ago. 40 years ago, they would check off just 1%, no religion. 2001, the percentage has risen to 16%. In 2001, that's what, 14 years ago? No, whoa, 18 years ago. Where am I? Yes, 18 years ago, right? So that number continues to jump. In the States, it's even higher, right? So people are not affiliating themselves with, say, the church. But yet there is a longing to call themselves spiritual. This is just a phenomenon that we have to pay attention to. The church really also is having a lot of issues, right? You will hear about large churches growing bigger, but the large churches, we're talking about churches that have 1,000 people, 2,000 people, 5,000 people, or 10,000 people. They only amount to a small percentage of the entire Christian population. They're more of a minority than the majority, okay? And there's also critique about how bigger churches, how sustainable the bigger churches are. And so what's happening is many, many churches are kind of our size, and especially young people are not seeing the need to affiliate themselves or to believe or to go into a religion. Yet, still people still believe in God. When we look around, though, 2019, there's also other statistics. I don't have the hard statistics here, but in our friend's circle, we have heard an uprising of people who have depression, people who are suicidal, people who just don't feel well psychologically, emotionally. Just a show of hands, how many of you know of a person who has depression? Show of hands. It's a pretty, it's one-third in the room. Some of you guys are like, I know of a person here. Yeah, no joke, I understand. I recently heard that another stat is that suicide rates among teenagers have also jumped multiple times. And especially teenage girls are more prone to suicides than teenage boys. And this is like North America statistics. And in a world where we're so wealthy and so technologically advanced, so developed in our knowledge, even of God, even of religion, we got so many books written about it. If you go online, you can read so much about it. Yet there is a deep need. There's a deep human need. Some might not call it spiritual. Some might call it just emotional needs, but they are a sense of disorientation. People feel as lonely as ever. And so what is the deal here? And that brings us to the passage this morning. And bear with me. I know that you might still be wondering why we're talking about planting, weeding, and pruning. Please turn to John chapter 15 with me. This is the passage this morning. Gospel of John, chapter 15. Gospel of John, chapter 15. Jesus said this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." This passage is the famous passage of Jesus calling himself as the vine. And all the churches and Christians and Jesus followers understood themselves as the branches that are attached to this vine. There are one word that is very that recurs here a lot, and that's the word remain. It is the word of abiding, of connecting, of staying in Jesus. There's no questions about what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying, you have to stay close to me. You have to be connected to me. Because without that connection, you will die. You will wither. You need to remain in Jesus. And Jesus calls himself the vine, where the Father is the gardener. My question this morning for you is, are churches connected to God? Are churches connected to Jesus? What are churches doing in helping others connect to Jesus? So that comes to the whole idea of planting, weeding, and pruning. Because believe it or not, planting is what churches have always been doing. Now, I know that some of us might be thinking church planting, planting out another church. That is a necessity. More churches are being planted every day than ever before. Okay, reason why? Because when you plant, you're starting something new. You're taking a seed and you're saying, let me start something that is of the DNA of Jesus. So when we plant, when we are churches, we need to think about what kind of things that we're planting right now. And for a church our age, does anybody know how old our church is? We just celebrated our 24th anniversary. Okay? And when this church was first planted, it was primarily a student body. It was students from Hong Kong. There were visa students. And some of them decided to have a family who ended up immigrated here. Some of them went back to Hong Kong. And the churches have gone through iterations of different people. Iterations of different people. And now the question here is, what is the something new that God is asking us to plant? Are we talking about planting something that is new, so an idea that is so new that nobody understands what we're talking about? No, no, no. We're talking about planting that is something that is of a DNA of Jesus. You see, a lot of people walk into churches these days and they do not see Jesus. How many of you know people like that? I was talking to people just recently about how they go into church and there's this sense of loss, that they can't find relationships, they cannot find truth. When they need to be prayed for, they find no one to be prayed for. The presence of God is not there. And This is my critique of churches, including ours this morning. Bear with me. I love the church, but there's something horribly wrong that we need to think about this morning. Is when the world calls themselves spiritual, but yet is having so much problem like depression, like anxiety, like suicide, yet my question is, what are we doing here? What are we continuing to do? Now, as a pastor, I'm not here to lay blame on you guys. Because as a pastor, I should be leading the way. So this is as much of a critique on myself and on my leadership as it is on the church. I think the church needs to rediscover something new. It needs to rediscover the connection to Jesus through spiritual practices, like what we have done with Life with God, that teaches people how to stay still before the Lord and listen to what God is saying. Now we need to plant something new. Not a plug, but I guess I am doing it now. Alpha, what are we doing with Alpha? Alpha is our intention, our attempt to plant something new. Imagine someone coming in here and we're talking about faith. Not necessarily imposing it on them, But we're asking, hey, do you have questions about this? What do you think about prayer? Have you ever had experiences of prayer? Were they answered? And some Christians might be able to share their experiences with that too. And we're trying to create a new culture where we are fluent about these sort of faith conversations. Sometimes I wonder how much of the conversations about faith is happening even within Christians. Even when we get together, we do talk about many, many things, which is great, because we're having fun. When do we ever get to the point where we get to share a little deeper level? Where it's like heart to heart. What is God doing in your life? How has God been guiding you? We need to rediscover that. And that is planting. And it requires sowers. It requires sowers that take the seed of Jesus, the DNA of Jesus, and start sowing. You start sowing. And you have to be intentional. You have to be intentional in that. Now, let's get to weeding. So, what are weeds? I'm not talking about that kind of weed. We're talking about another. We're talking about those that are kind of in our gardens. Weed are especially annoying. We've seen some crab weeds that are sort of spready, right? And they have kind of thorns there. And what they do is if you see a weed there, usually what happens is the grass that is around it, well, they don't have a lot of grass. It's pretty much barren. So the weeds are in the garden. You have to take out the weed. You have to de-weed. So sometimes you see people just in their gardens just de-weeding all day long. And the problem with weeds is that the weed would compete with the other plants, whether it's grass or whether it's flowers. So for us as a church to weed out the things, what does that mean? Now, when Jesus talked about he's divine and we have to remain in him and him in us, he's talking about a kind of connection that is deep, that is frequent, that is open, that is an open of your heart to his. He's not just talking about activities that we would come together and do, but he's talking about him in your life. And I think about marriage. I think about marriage. How does someone cultivate a marriage? I once heard a joke about, oh, you just have to, you know, stay away from affairs. And really, the person says, no, to cultivate marriage, you don't stay away from, you don't work on staying away from affairs. You work on being more in love with your spouse. And that makes a lot of sense to me. In our spiritual life, Jesus wants us to remain in him. And sometimes what we do is we try to just manage our own sins, like Dallas Willard says. We're kind of it's like a sin management. We just manage so that we make sure that we don't, you know, cross and step on God's toes. Right? But whereas what we need to do more is to grow our hearts for God. It's to love him. It's to love him. So weeding has to do with removing all of the distractions that are competing for your attention. And at the beginning of the year, we have been through the habit series. You know, we talked about how you can be very intentional on, if you want a journal, then make your journal visible right there, right? Your Bible right there on the desk. That actually helps you develop a lot of these habits. There's no doubt about what Jesus wants. Jesus wants his followers to be devoted to him. Jesus wants our attention to be on God and what God cares about, more so than what we care about. And so for churches to think about how to continue to grow, we must think about what we must weed out. There is a time to think about what are things that are competing for our attention. Are you living a life that is way too busy? Are you spending time, are you prioritizing your time based on spending time with Christians who can actually pray together, who can read God's word? All of those things would go into the weeding part of it. It is about desiring God, wanting the real thing, which is God himself, rather than all of the other things that the world has to offer us. C.S. Lewis has this interesting quote. He says that it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. I read it, and it was like a reflection of my life. I remember when I speak to my son, sometimes I would tell my son, hey, this is when you ride the bike. He just learned to ride a bike. That was probably a couple years ago. And I told him, hey, your bike can go really fast, and how you can go fast is sometimes you want more strength and you want to stand up onto your bike, right? You know what I mean? Like, you stand up and so that you can kind of pull your weight down and so that the bike will go faster, right? And he was just playing it safe. He was like, no. Maybe he was too young. Maybe his legs were weaker. This quote reminded me of that. And sometimes our desire is not strong enough. We can desire more of God than just the things that we see and taste physically, but God's presence in our lives. And we must continue to weed out these things. Now let's get to the third point, which is pruning. Now, with regards to pruning, Jesus says this, verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, and while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. So pruning is a very regular practice in horticulture, agricultural practices, is that when you have a plant, kind of like a rose bush, what the gardeners would do is after it blossoms, which is probably late July, if I remember correctly, someone who knows what he's doing would actually take a pair of scissors, and snip it. Snip off the flower itself. The flower actually still looks pretty full, but you would snip it off. So that the nutrients, the plant can actually store more nutrients for itself for next year. So pruning is actually a very regular practice. My mind, when I read this scripture, is that, hey, Jesus cuts off all the branches that does not bear fruit. That's fair, right? If you're not bearing fruit, then he's going to cut it off. He's going to prune. But what's interesting is that Jesus also said that for those that bear fruit, he's going to cut. He's also going to prune. Now, that is something that is extremely hard to imagine. Now, pruning hurts. Pruning has to do with our life being sort of bent and cut into the form that God wants us to be. And no one wants to hear that. All of us would much prefer to listen to the passages that says God loves us, and he does. That is why he prunes. That is why he shapes. And that is why some of us might be on a journey where we're wondering why there's such difficulty in our lives. Why is God not answering my prayers when I've prayed for something that is of his will to happen? and we go on praying with tears in our eyes. We pray for patience, and God seems to, you know, give us more annoying things, annoying people. We pray for kindness, and God seems to just be throwing more difficult people into our ways. We pray for perseverance. God just gives you one obstacle after another. You wonder why. But that is precisely the training ground to shape you. God is more interested in your character than in your comfort. And that is the hard truth that we all must grapple with. So what can we do in the midst of all the difficulties? It's we support each other. It's we pray for one another. And this sounds just so repetitive. Do we know of people around us in the church that are going through difficulty? Would you pray for that person? It's funny because sometimes it's weird. I spend my time preparing the sermon and it comes down to this. Can you just pray for someone, please? Can we just roll up our sleeves to serve? Can we slot out a time where we just sit a couple of minutes before God in silence? Appreciate his presence. And we read his word. So it's as repetitive as it is, this is my role. So probably to remind you of all of that. I'm going to ask the team to come up. It's very interesting. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. This is about resurrection. It says Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Well, since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. This is really the Apostle Paul describing Jesus as the first fruit. And it is the harvest. It is the harvest. The batch of fruit, the Jewish culture has a practice of collecting the first batch. An offering to God. It is an offering. The life of Jesus was described as the first fruit. He's the trailblazer. He offered himself to God. He sacrificed for mankind. And we are to follow suit. And that's why Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest are plentiful. There is a spiritual hunger right now. The world that we live in. People are longing for God, longing to see Jesus, longing to sense the Spirit moving in their hearts. Yet the workers are few. The workers are few. So my words to you this morning, my brothers and sisters, is would you be sowers of the seed? Be workers alongside me, alongside this church. Who's in? Who is in? Let's be that. Let's be the worker. Let's continue to serve and harvest. And leave it to God for who is going to come to Jesus to believe. Like, would you water? Would you seed? Would you sow seeds? Would you weed? Would you prune? And allow God to prune? That is something that is what we will continue to do. That is something that it will sit as a value, as a part of the culture where we are. Let's pray together. Father, we give thanks for this morning once again. We thank you for your word. And God, we're grappling with some hard truth this morning that you do prune us. That you do give us really hard circumstances and people. And maybe some of us are right in the smack of it right now, smack middle of it. Right now, we're just looking for a way out. God, we're just praying so hard that you would show up and that you would help us. God, I pray that you will give us eyes to see that you have been by our side all along. And that these hardships are meant to shape us in character so that we'll become more like Jesus. God, could you give us faith? Could you teach us to give thanks? Lord, and I ask that you will satisfy our deepest needs, the need to connect to you, God. Show us more of you and what that means in our life. Lord, we don't need another app. We don't need another new thing. We don't need another shiny new objects. We need you, the one and only being who was and is to come. Lord, so as we talk about planting and weeding and pruning, let us hold tight to you and what you've done through your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray for my brothers and sisters. May this church plant something fresh. May this church rediscover the need to connect with you. May this church strive to weed out all the things that compete against you so that we can give our wholehearted devotion and attention to you. Lord, and may this church be one that perseveres through your pruning, because it is hard. The reality is harsh. We know that there is hope because you are there. And let us look to Christ as the first fruits offered to you, God. Jesus, you are our hope. You are our hope. And we give thanks. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So right now, this is a time of communion where we're right before God's table. And this is the Lord's table, as we call it. And it means that it is for those who desire to come before the Lord. And it is because of the work of Jesus that the cup